All right, if you got your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse number 18 this week, picking up where we left off last time. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Lord, we thank you for your truth and your word. And Lord, that we have opportunity now to study your word together. Lord, I pray as we open your word that you would just open our hearts, that you would open our minds and our ears. Lord, that we would truly just hear from you today, and Lord, that you would speak your words through me, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Remember, as we left off last time, if you were with us, we seen Paul in his second missionary journey, going from church to church, from place to place, town to town. Many a times as he was ministering, of course, he was going into the community, going first and foremost to the temple place, to the place of worship that was already there, and proclaiming the words of Christ and leading others into relationship with Christ. And we see one of the major differences that we see in chapter 18 that we discovered last time was a little bit of a transition in Paul's ministry. Where we begin to see him very actively pursuing the Gentiles rather than the Jews. The Jews in every place that he had gone had heard the word, but they were not receiving the word. And we see an opportunity opened up to the Gentiles to hear and to know the truth of God. And as we kind of ended off last time, as he was facing some great challenge, Paul and the early disciples in the church were facing great persecution for sharing the word of God and who Jesus is. They were facing many challenges, and that's kind of where we were left off last time, that he was brought before the judge, and that he was they were trying to accuse him very specifically here in the city of Corinth. But the judge took a stand, made a choice from a world standpoint that said it was a religious situation, and he wasn't going to judge Paul in a religious matter from a world's court. And that's kind of where we left Paul last time. In verse number 18, as we pick up this morning, it says, Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Syrinch, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. Again, we see kind of this picture as Paul went from different places. We were introduced to this Priscilla and Aquila, this man and woman, husband and wife team that were very actively sharing the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God, and leading in their life and their relationship with the Lord, striving to be a faithful witness. This is what we talk about today in the life of the church. The same responsibility this morning. If you have a relationship with Jesus, this morning, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. We have that same responsibility. Yes, maybe?
Amen.
Maybe not? We all recognize that this morning. We have something. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have something that the world apart from Christ doesn't have. They don't have that relationship. And the call that we have this morning in the life of the church is to be that witness. Priscilla and Aquila were this individuals, this couple that were faithfully serving God, where he had called him to. And we see in these verses as we picked up here that Paul stayed there a good while, and then he took, as it says there, he took his leave from the brethren, and he went on to the next place, to the next situation that God had called him to, faithfully serving. He says there he sailed to Syria, and he took Priscilla and Aquila with him. We see this very interesting little part in verse number 18 here. He shorn his head. That's just kind of a random verse in there, right? You see a random part of that verse. Anybody think about that? Paul shaved his head. That's kind of weird. Just something in the midst of a story as we read it. If we take into very serious context of what we're reading in the scripture, this was a vow. Paul, it gives us an indication here that Paul made a vow. And we don't have much more detail beyond that in this verse, even in this part of the chapter, but he made a vow or made a commitment. And if we study scripture out, we see very often that there was these vows that were taken, and it was a vow unto God. Most important thing that we recognize is that Paul had made a vow, and he made a choice to do something that God had led him to do. And this is what we see evidence in this verse. And so this little glimpse of he had shorn his head, it tells us there he had made a vow. He shaved his head, and that was just kind of one of those things that did take place. In scripture time, as we see it, we probably don't recognize it as much today. One of the most important parts of this verse as we consider it this morning is that Paul made a vow and he was willing to stand behind that vow. And that's something that's so important today in the life of the church. And we're going to make a commitment to our Heavenly Father today. We're going to make what we would call a vow. We would say probably, we might hear it more often here, that we swear. Anybody ever say, "I swear"? You know, honestly, one of the things that we really start to think about when we talk about swearing something is we're trying to relay probably in most conversation that we're serious about something that we're going to do. Unfortunate thing that we find very often today is we might say we swear to something and we never do really follow through with it. And I think probably oftentimes if we get into real conversation with people, we use that word swear or we make a vow. We're trying to encourage people to know that we're serious about it. We're making a commitment about it, but we're not really that dedicated to it. And there's something to be said very seriously in our life and relationship today. If we're going to swear to those things in Scripture, we hear it referenced, if your yes be yes and your no be no. If we're going to make a commitment and we're going to make a vow to God, it's important for us to hold to that vow, to hold to the truth of what it is that we're going to commit to. And today, we live in a society this morning where it's very easy to commit to things that we are not going to be able to fulfill. Anybody ever committed to something that you really weren't really totally committed to? You just said yes. And the normal trend in our life today and even outside of the church is just a normal pattern for most of us. We don't like to say no. We want to say yes to everybody. And this is why we live the busyness of life that we live today. It's why we see so much struggle and difficulty in our lives today. As we make a commitment to something, we need to stand true to that. Need to stand faithful to those vows that we make. It's something that designates or distinguishes a true faithful follower of Christ from somebody that just swears. You know, as you know, people today swear from one end to the other. I swear this and I swear that. And we know, just in my own personal opinion, when I hear somebody tell me they're swearing those things, I have this thought that runs through my mind that says they're trying to justify something they're lying about, really. And something they're never really going to fit to. By telling me they swear they're going to do it doesn't really generate in my mind an idea that they're really going to do it. The fact that I know they're going to do it is that they show up when they said they would be there. That they're going to be committed to those things. And it's so important. I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that if we make vows and we make commitments to Christ, that we would be genuine in it. Amen. And if we know that we're not going to be genuine in those things, that we'd not make a vow. And there's something, it's a very random little part of the verse here in verse 18 that we see about Paul, but I think it's very important and key to the entire Scripture. We know that Paul made a vow and he stuck with it. The recognition of that is he shaved his head. That was part of the vow. That was a recognition that he knew and others around him would know that he had made a commitment. It's obvious as we begin to think about it that he went from a full head of hair to a bald head. That's obvious. Somebody's going to say, "Hey, that looks different today. Something's happened. Something's changed in his life. What is it?" And Paul had that opportunity. So in verse 19, as we continue on, it says he came into Ephesus and he left them there. So we see now what has happened. He came back into Ephesus. And we know if we remember in the last missionary journey as we're reading through Acts here that Paul wasn't able to stay in Ephesus there. He just kind of kept going through these different places and he didn't stay in Ephesus. But it says here he left them there and he himself entered into the synagogue. And he reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Now we see another little indication here of a partial part of this vow that Paul had made. It says when they desired him to hang on, they wanted Paul to stay and to worship with him, and they wanted them to continue to fellowship together. It says in 21, but he bade them farewell. He said, "I've got to go." He had already made a commitment, and we see in the later part of this verse, to be in Jerusalem, and that's where he was heading. "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem." He says, "But I will return again to you." Look what he says. "If God will." Did anybody ever say that? Do we ever hear people say, "If God wills," or "Lord willing"? Maybe that's the way we hear it a lot. You ever think about what that really means? Do we really stop to consider, is it just something we say? Paul says, "If it be the Lord's will." He followed up with this conversation in this verse as he was speaking to the Jews at Ephesus. He gave them this opportunity. He says, "I've got a commitment to make. I've got to be at this feast in Jerusalem. I'm moving on. But Lord willing, I'm going to come back. If the Lord wills." And I wonder this morning, if we have a desire in our heart as a church, have you ever prayed for the Lord's will in your life? You ever had this situation in your life where you just got to a place where you really just genuinely prayed for God's will in your life, not your own? And we're in this trend today in our life and in the life of the church that we're going in a direction and we're doing the things that we want to do and we're doing the things that are most comfortable in our life, but we don't necessarily always have a habit of praying for God's will. And we recognize today, if we take into consideration this simple little comment that Paul makes here to these individuals, he says, if God wills, I will be back. He moved it from this desire in his own flesh, as we know that there was a desire. And today, honestly, as believers, there's some things, if we just went around the room and talked, there's some things that you have that are a desire in your heart today, right? There's some things you want to see happen. There's some things in your life that you would like to see happening, maybe in the days ahead, very near future, maybe distant future, things that you want to see accomplished. Probably for every one of us, we've got goals and ideas and thoughts. For some of you, you've got brand new babies. That's probably really fresh on your mind. You're thinking about, man, what does life look like? Right? We want to train up our children. We want to have this relationship. We want to grow. We want to think about our life. Or the world standard says we've got to have a plan, right? We've got a 10-year, 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan, all of these things, where we want to be and what we want to do. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but for us this morning in the life of the church, have you ever considered what really is God's will for my life? And is the plans that I have today for my life, even for just this afternoon, because you've all got plans for this afternoon, I know you do, and tomorrow, and the next day. We've got all these things that we've got to get done. But do we stop and consider whether or not it is truly God's will for our life? Some very simple conversation that Paul was having here, he says, I will return again to you. But he didn't swear on that. He didn't promise on those things. What did he say? If the Lord wills. And he gives us an indication. In his heart, he wanted to be with the church at Ephesus. He wanted to be with these individual brothers and sisters in Christ. He wanted to fellowship together. But he put in there as a reminder to them, if the Lord wills, I will be here. If God allows those things. And I wonder today in our hearts and our lives as a church, are we concerned enough about God's will for our life that it would change the direction of our life right now? If our plan for tomorrow was not the will of God for us, would you be okay with that? If your plans for this afternoon are not exactly what God's desire is for you and His will was laid out in your life and it changed, would you be okay with that? Or would you be upset? Would you struggle through those things? Would you be angry at... No, we would never say we're angry at God, right? Would you ever be angry with the Lord because life didn't go the way you wanted it? Because your plans didn't work out exactly like you thought they should? And it's an important challenge for us this morning in the life of the church to be in an attitude of prayer and knowing that it is God's will that's most important for us. It's God's will and direction in our life. And it's a great opportunity to have plans. It's a great opportunity to have hopes and dreams in your life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have those things, but we should have them according to the will of God and to the plan of God. And so we have to determine very quickly, just in short, for this could be a whole other message. In short, what is the will of God? If Paul says very quickly here in this verse, if God wills, then we have to determine what is God's will. And I wonder this morning in your life, do you know what God's will is for your life today? Do you know what God's plan is? And do you know that there's a difference between God's plan and God's will? It's very important to distinguish this morning. God's will, and Scripture gives us clarification of this over and over, if we really study the Word of God, the will of God is that none should perish. God's will is that every person in this world would know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and spend everlasting life with Him in paradise. That is plain and simple God's will for the entire world that we live in today. Nothing else. And it's difficult to understand that, because now we talk about God's will and we think, well, that's not what I know about God's will. That's not what I've always understood. And now we can clarify very quickly, God's plan for you and your life is different. God's plan for your life and every step of your life is leading you to the ultimate fulfillment of His will. And we recognize this morning, as every one of us, if you can claim this morning that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that means you obviously know God's will for your life because you've already made that decision. You've accepted Him. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, I want to challenge your heart. You have to consider that you might not be living in the will of God today. God's plan is different for us. When we come into fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, then we can now know what God's plan is for us. We determine God's plan for our life through His Word. Through studying His Word, we determine God's plan for our life when we're in fellowship together in the body of Christ. Do you ever consider the fact that the body of Christ, the church that you worship in, is a part of God's plan? And that when we come to worship, it's not just to come and sing songs and read the Word of God and say we were in church on Sunday morning, but to know that God has a plan for us. And we can determine that plan together. We can determine those steps together as we consider these things. Paul made a very specific comment here that could impact our entire life today as a church. Amen. That we consider for a second that God's will is that none should perish. So if it's God's will that every person in this world would come to saving relationship with Him, then we know what God's will is. Now we just have to determine, where is my part in that? And that's exactly what Paul clarified right there. If it's God's will, I will come back to you. I will come back to this place and fellowship with you. I will come back and worship with you. But I've got to do what is necessary right now. And he said, as we consider these things, it is God's will. He said in the last part of that verse, he sailed from Ephesus. So he stayed true to his word. He stayed true to the vow that he had made to God. He told the church at Ephesus, I've got to go on to Jerusalem. But if the Lord wills, and it's in his plan for my life, I'll be back. And I'll worship with you again. Look how important it is. And then in verse 22, it says, when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. We begin to see his trip, again, his missionary journey from step to step, from place to place. He left Ephesus. Tells us here he landed at Caesarea and he went up. He saluted the church. Look at that. What does that mean? He saluted the church. He stopped by and he talked to everybody. Right? And I wonder, careful consideration of this, what it would look like to salute the church. To come and fellowship together, to worship together, to spend time together. And then it says he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed. And he went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order. What it says, he went from place to place, from church to church. And look at the last part of that verse. What does it say? What did he do? Strengthening all the disciples. Part of God's plan for Paul was to go from place to place, to church, to encourage the disciples. It says there, to strengthen the disciples. And I wonder this morning, have you ever considered the fact that worship together on a Sunday morning is about strengthening each other? And about encouraging each other? And about being the body of Christ that God has called us to be? To be in fellowship? We celebrate today, we think about, it's marked on a calendar anyways, it's a holiday, right? And we got lots of holidays marked on the calendars, and we consider what really are we celebrating, are we considering today as we think about Memorial Day, as a reminder for us to remember all of those situations, all of those lives. I've been just watching the cemetery the last couple of days, coming back and forth out on the highway, and there's just droves of people going to the cemetery, right? Why? Because they want to remember the loss, right? We remember that individual that's buried out there. We remember those things that have taken place, whether it's our military people, whether it's our family, our friends, whatever it might be. We consider all of those things that are important for us to remember. Do you remember what it's like to be the church that God has called us to be? And we think about this opportunity. Paul went from place to place, and he was desiring to strengthen the disciples. It means he looked into their life and into their relationship with the Lord, and he wanted to drive them to a better relationship, to a stronger relationship. And we understand these things probably from the world standpoint today as we grow in our lives, in every area of our lives. We talk about in the workforce, there's this common pattern that happens in the workplace today that we want to be, most people anyways, have a desire to be better at their job, to grow, to excel. This is just kind of the mentality in our world. It says we want to start in one place and we want to move up. We want to grow. We want to do something here. We want to do something there. Hopefully our natural desire says, I want to make the workplace a better place. I want to work diligently at my job. I want to have better relationships. I want to do all of those things. Those are key in the workplace. They're so key in the life of the church today. We recognize an important part of the church is to strengthen each other. We recognize today that one of the hardest things that we don't want to talk about in the church today, if there's need for strengthening, there's obviously a weakness, right? You recognize there's weakness in the church today. And it's so important for us this morning to understand that weakness is okay. It's an opportunity for God to work. It's an opportunity. One of the misconceptions that we have in the church is that when we get saved and we get baptized and we join the church and we come into fellowship, that all of life is perfect, right? And every one of us as brothers and sisters in Christ are doing all the right things at all the right time. We don't offend anybody. We don't get in situations where we're not comfortable with each other. We don't say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. We're just all about nice warm love and fuzzies and all this wonderful stuff, right? That's not church. That's not the Christian life. We struggle. And Paul went from church to church, strengthening the church because there was weakness in the church. And I want you to know today, there is weakness in the church. Why is there weakness? Because we're sinners. Because we're all sinners and we're all going to fail. And weakness is not something that we look at somebody's life and point the finger and say, you did this and you said that and why did you do this? But it's an opportunity for us to come alongside of each other and to strengthen each other and to love each other and to build a church that God has called us to be. Paul knew that as a leader, and this is why he went from place to place. And as you consider what we've studied through the book of Acts all the way up to this point, what happened? This was the pattern in the church, right? We see the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Then we see the New Testament church begin. And when the New Testament church began, we had a whole bunch of people that were brand new Christians. And they're brand new learning what it means to know Jesus Christ. And they're brand new learning all of the things that we're studying right here. And there was need for them to grow. And they needed to grow with good leadership. Now, Paul went from place to place and he helped the churches establish worship places in every community. And he saw the importance of going back and not just letting them hang out there and see for themselves what it would look like. But he saw the need for encouraging them. So he went from each place, strengthening all of the disciples. And I want you to consider this morning that you might invest in a body of believers today in order to strengthen each other. Not to look at each other negatively, not to discourage each other, not to say, well, they should have done this and they should have done that, but to be the body of Christ that God has called us to be. Amen. And I want you to know this morning, if in our hearts today we had a desire when we walked through the doors of this building and we had a desire any time that we were together to strengthen each other, our minds and our hearts would change. And we'd look at each other as an opportunity to build each other up and to love each other. And to grow into the body of Christ that God has called us to be. And to recognize that I'm going to be weak on some days. And you're going to be weak on some days. And there's going to be times when we just need to be able to lean on each other. And we need to recognize that our weakness is an opportunity for somebody else to lift us up. And encourage us. It's not an opportunity for us to drag our hands and our feet and just be discouraged and think, man, I failed again. It's an opportunity for us to love each other. Amen. It's an opportunity when I'm weak that you're strong, that you can encourage me, that you can lift me up, and I can do the same for you. The difficulty in church life today is that none of us want to admit that we're weak, right? None of us want to admit that maybe we didn't have the best week, and maybe we've been having the wrong attitude, and maybe we've not been looking at the things correctly. Maybe we've not been living life according to the plan that God has called us to recently. And we don't want to admit those things, but I promise you this morning, if you'd admit your sin before God first of all, and you'd allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to build you up, the church would be something different today. Amen. And we'd look like what God has intended the church to look like. And we'd grow. Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, he says, born at Alexandria. Look at what he says about this man. It's interesting how we're just introduced to different characters. Every place we go, different individuals. There's certain people in every place. And this man Apollos, we're now introduced to him. He was a Jew. And it tells us a little bit about him. He was an eloquent man. Now consider for just a minute, what is an eloquent man? You can go home and look that word up if you want. Basically, he had a way with words. He could speak very well. People liked to listen to him. You ever had somebody like that? People that you just like to listen to. You could talk to him and you just like to listen to him. Hopefully when people are preaching and teaching the Word of God, that's something we desire. We want to hear the Word of God. And I know, without a doubt, not everybody has this gift, I promise you. That's a hard thing to have. It really is. There's just some of those times when we don't really have it. This man had it. He had a gift. He was eloquent, it says. And he was mighty in the Scriptures. That's important, isn't it? He was mighty in the Scriptures. Now let's consider for just a minute what we've already discussed up until this point in the book of Acts. What were the Scriptures that this man would have known? What he would have known was the back half of the Bible you know today. Because they're living in the front half. They're living in this part of the Bible that we're reading right now. They're living that literally. This wasn't written. They were living it. What he knew was the Old Testament Scriptures. And he knew it obviously well, it says. He came to Ephesus. This man, in verse 25, was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now let's consider, now we just made a little transition, right? He knew the Scriptures. He was teaching it. It gives us this little indication there. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. So it means he knew that there was a God. We obviously can tell that, right? He knew the Old Testament Scriptures. And we've already had this discussion before, but if you didn't realize, Jesus is all throughout the Old Testament. Amen. We may not see that name written there. We may not see it directly as we see it written in the New Testament, but we see the evidence of Jesus Christ throughout the entire Old Testament. That's what this means, that this man was taught in the Lord, and it says he was fervent in the Spirit. Now we got all kinds of fun words to consider this morning. Now he was fervent in the Spirit. And I wonder this morning, what would it look like today in the life of the church if we were fervent in the Spirit? That in every action and every attitude and every conversation and every thought that rolled through our mind today, that we were focused on the Lord. We were focused on commitment to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit that was working in our lives would be evidence. And I want you to consider for just a minute, a very key thing about this man Apollos that we need to understand. It says that he was fervent in the Spirit. And you notice it's, if you really look at your Bible, it's a small s. It's very key and important. There's a distinction between the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. This man was fervent in the Spirit, which means he had a desire to tell people about the Lord, but his desire was limited by his knowledge. What he knew was the Heavenly Father. He knew, based off of the Old Testament Scriptures, that there was a Savior that was coming. He knew, according as we've just read it here, what did he know? Knowing only the baptism of John. He was so fervent in the Spirit, but he had no true understanding of what we just talked about. He had no understanding of the will of God. He had no understanding of who Jesus Christ was. What he knew was the baptism of John. And if you go backwards and we study about the baptism of John, what was John baptizing people to? To a baptism of repentance. So what he was challenging individuals to do was to look to the coming Savior and to be baptized in an attitude of repentance. So what this man knew is that he was a sinner, and he knew that he needed to be baptized, and he needed to commit his life to something, but he wasn't really in relationship with Jesus Christ. He never really had truly come to that place. I find it interesting that this man could fervently in the Spirit tell people about God, and he had no idea who Jesus was. And today, if we believe in our heart what we've read and what we've studied, and you say this morning that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, we've got the whole truth.
Amen.
And we never once open our mouth. This man had partial truth and was telling everybody. He was willing to tell everybody what he knew about the baptism of John. And says in verse 26, he not only told the people out on the streets and everywhere he went, but he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He went into the religious places. Look at verse 26, a later part of that. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That is very interesting, key, important parts of the verses that we read this morning. That Paul took Priscilla and Aquila with him to Ephesus. You think that was an accident? He got to Ephesus, and Paul did what? He could have kept on taking them with him? No, he left them there. For what reason? Because they knew the truth of Jesus Christ. They understood what it meant to have relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as if we have come to that relationship today, just as you know. And it's so important for us to know that when God's will is being laid out and God's plan is a part of our life, that God is going to direct us to the right place, to the right time, and in order to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. Amen. Priscilla and Aquila happened to be at the right place at the right time. They were in the synagogue doing what? Exactly what God had called them to do. And this man, Apollos, comes along and he begins to share and he begins to preach. And he's only preaching it. Look at it. Priscilla and Aquila are sitting there and they're listening to this man and he's sharing the truth. But they're sitting back saying, man, he doesn't know everything. He only knows a little bit. We better tell him. We better give him the rest of the information. So they drug him out there. It says there they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They helped him to understand Jesus Christ. What does it mean right there? What it means very specifically is the same thing we started out with. Priscilla and Aquila took very literally the call that God had given to them in their life. And they took this man Apollos aside and they said, hey, we want you to know more about Jesus. Amen. And what happened at that moment? That man got saved. Amen. He came to relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of a man and his wife that were willing to do what God had called him to do in the place that God had called him to do it. That's obedience. That's the desire that we ought to have in our heart. Look what it says in 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Man, careful consideration of this verse. What does it look like? Do you see the pattern? That God has called specific individuals to specific places to be there at the right time. To do what? Lead people to Christ. God called Paul, and God's plan for Paul was to go from place to place. He called Priscilla and Aquila to follow along with Paul, to go to Ephesus, to be in the synagogue at the day when Apollos would come. And Apollos came, and he heard the truth of God from Priscilla and Aquila. He accepted Jesus Christ, and because he accepted Jesus Christ, we see in the next verse, he had made a decision. He was disposed, it says. He decided to move on. He went on to Achaia, and it says there, they wrote letters, encouraging them. When they got there, they wrote letters. Priscilla and Aquila wrote letters, and what did the letters say? Hey, this guy Apollos is coming, and you need to use him. He's ready to share who Jesus Christ is. Amen. You need to let him do what God has called him to do, to receive him. That's what it says. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He came into this understanding because he now had been expounded the truth of Jesus Christ. He was able to share it to other people. And he got into this other church, into this other place, and his gift was used. His ability was used. Continue to consider the fact that we started out learning about Apollos that he was an eloquent man, which means he had good conversation. He could go anywhere, and he could share with people Jesus Christ. That is a call from the God. That is a call from the Heavenly Father. Look at verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now we've got to consider one more thing that's very important in these verses. What we read in the first part of this chapter was that the Jews were not hearing or accepting the Word of God, right? They were not accepting these things. Paul went from place to place. They wouldn't accept it in the synagogue. So in chapter 18, when we started out last week, we determined what? That Paul was not having a good success with the Jews. So his call was to move on. Part of God's plan for Paul's life was to go to the Gentiles. But you realize one important thing there? God had a plan to still speak to the Jews. And he used Apollos to do it. There was a man in a place with a gift that he didn't even know he had to further the ministry of God. And that's what we see in that verse. You recognize he mightily convinced the Jews. That was something Paul was unable to do. I want you to consider this morning the gift that God has given to you today. Apollos had a gift, just like every one of you have a gift, to be used of God if you're willing to do it. To know the truth of Jesus Christ and to use the gift that God has given to you in order to fulfill the will of the Heavenly Father. Your gift today is to lead others to Christ. If you can't say this morning that you've ever had a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to leave this place until you've done that today. You've got an opportunity to come to relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you can say, I've already done that, but I don't really know what God's plan is for my life. You know what? I don't know either, but we can find out. That's the part of the church that's important. We come alongside of each other. We encourage each other. We help each other find the plan that God has for your life so that you can be used of God wherever He wants you to be used. I can tell you one thing. If God has called you to this place, He wants to use you.
Amen.
And we want you to be used in this body of believers if you're willing to do it. Apollos was a faithful servant. He preached and taught the Word of God, and it says he mightily convinced the Jews. What did he convince them of? Their need for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He had an opportunity to speak to the Jews when nobody else was doing it. When nobody else was capable of doing it. And I want to challenge your heart this morning. There are places that you go every single day that I'm never going to go. There are people that you know that I'm never going to meet. There are situations that you're going to be in that I'm never going to be in. That's the call that God has put in your life.
Amen.
To be the faithful witness that God has called you to be. You're not comfortable doing that? That's okay. We can get you there. Study the Word of God. Live in the truth of Jesus Christ. You recognize this morning that that's what God created the church for. There's a reason that we have Sunday morning worship. There's a reason we have Sunday night worship. There's a reason we have Wednesday night Bible study. There's a reason we have Sunday school on Sunday mornings. And it's all for encouraging and edifying and building each other up so that we can continue on in the ministry that God has called us to. If you never knew why the church was open all of those times, now you know. It's not just to say we have something on a schedule. It's so we can be the church that God has called us to be.
Amen.
We can grow together, fellowship together, and be a witness so that ultimately God's will be fulfilled. And when we stand before the Lord, we can say faithfully, we've done what God has called us to do. Are you willing to do that this morning? Would you do what God's called you to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your precious word and your precious truth that you give to us this morning. Lord, a reminder that we understand through the life of Paul and the ministry that you had called him to, that he went from place to place and person to person. And Lord, as he was faithfully sharing, that others were called out and they came into fellowship together and they worshiped you and they encouraged each other and they most of all led others to a right relationship with you. And Lord, I pray this morning as we consider these things from your word, Lord, that you'd help us to be in right relationship today. Lord, if there's someone here that has never come to a saving relationship with you, they don't really know what it means to accept your free gift of salvation. They don't really know the details of what we read this morning and that, Lord, the word that was expounded to Apollos so that he might come to right relationship with you. Maybe they never heard that. Lord, I pray in this time of invitation, as we stand and we have this closing song, that person, those people would come down this aisle, and Lord, that we could help them to understand who you are today, and that they might know that they're in right relationship with you before they leave this place. And Lord, if we can faithfully say that we've accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, then Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to you in the very next step of our life, whatever that might be. Lord, we know very specifically your word says the next step after salvation is to be following you in believer's baptism. Lord, maybe there's someone here in this room that needs to do that. They've not made that commitment. I pray you'd help them to come in this time of invitation. Lord, they just walk up here and they just let me know, hey, you know what? I know I need to be baptized. When can we do it? Lord, we'll pray with them and we'll encourage them in their walk and relationship and we'll get the baptism waters ready to go. Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made. Maybe we need to come alongside and just make a commitment to be a member of this church and be faithful to the ministry you've called us to do in this community. I pray you'd help people to come. Lord, maybe there's other decisions. Maybe we've just been putting off making right decisions in obedience to you today, and we need to confess some sin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. If we just need to confess our sin and get right with you this morning, I pray you'd help us to come down, get on our knees up here at this altar, and just take care of our sin before you today. Lord, whatever your will is in this place, I pray you'd help us to be obedient. Lord, no more hesitation, no more questions, no more concern, just trusting you, knowing that your will is perfect and your plan is important in our life today. Lord, we're going to trust you. We thank you and we ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use the hymnal, it's 448.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
So at the beginning of Acts, can you kind of pause? I mean, about Christ, it has been perplexing. It has been exciting, and it has been anything but an interruption. It has been so fun
Amen.
To see this. And it has been, I want more, and it's scary.
Yes.
All at the same time, and it's been so good for us as a family and to talk about this. And Acts has been so exciting that they so boldly go out there time and time again and spread the gospel. And I keep praying that God will let me be bold and speak. And he just keeps giving new people and places and learning new things. And I don't want it to stop.
Amen.
It's been exciting.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's how he works. Awesome. Let's sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your presence in this place. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth and the challenge that you bring to our hearts. Lord, just to be reminded of your Holy Spirit and how you lead us and direct us. Lord, how you move in our lives. Lord, even so many times that we might ignore it or we might not recognize, Lord, that it truly is you. I pray that, Lord, as we're here this morning, that we would recognize your spirit and your presence. And Lord, as we go out into the world this week, as you've called us to do the things that we do each and every day, that, Lord, that most of all we would be a light for you. Lord, that others would see you through us, and that we would be the faithful servants you called us to be. Lord, we thank you for how you love us and how you care for us. We pray you just lead us from this place, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.